This is A-State Connections on KASU. I'm Jonathan Reeves. This is the weekly segment called A-State Connections and Create at State, Making Connections That Count. In this interview, I talk with Dr. Edward Salo. He's an assistant professor of history at Arkansas State University and works with the Heritage Studies PhD program. He worked with graduate students Mikhail Kamlotsky and Pushpita Ashika to look at two cemeteries in Helena, West Helena, to try to get them on the National Register of Historic Places. Here's Dr. Salo.
Over the summer, we offer a historic preservation field school for both graduate students in history and heritage studies that offers them the experience of doing projects that are community-based. People come to us with projects, buildings, or things that they want to try to preserve to have listed on the National Register. And we use those projects to not only help the community, but also to give our students real-world experience. And the two that we got for the past summer, summer of 2018, were two cemeteries down in Helena, Arkansas. One is a historically African-American cemetery, and the other is the historic Jewish cemetery. And one of the members, his family's been buried in the Jewish cemetery, had come to us, and he wanted us to explore that one. And he said, hey, why don't you explore the African-American cemetery also? And so those are the two projects we worked on last summer. And we've got the National Register nomination in for the Jewish cemetery. And the states, we're still working with the state on the African-American cemetery right now.
What's the value of being able to have cemeteries as part of the National Register? Typically, you may think of buildings, but you may not think of cemeteries in that regard. Kind of tell us about that, if you don't mind, please.
Right. Actually, cemeteries are fairly hard to get listed on the National Register. The way they have the regulations is they don't want every cemetery out there to be historic, and because everyone thinks every cemetery is important and they're protected under different laws. But for a cemetery to be listed, it needs to be connected to the history of the community or an ethnic group. And these two cemeteries, we definitely feel, are part of the rich history of Helena. The Jewish cemetery is currently the only remaining aspect of the Jewish community there that's still active. There was a synagogue, which is really nice downtown, but it closed several years ago, and they donated the building to the city. So it's still there, but it's not being actively used for its original purpose. The cemetery is still being used for burials, so it's the only remaining place connected to the Jewish heritage of Helena, which went from fairly large to rather small now. So, we think that's important. And then the African American cemetery, speaks to the ideas of Jim Crow, where, cemeteries were segregated. This was on the other side of the ridge from the white cemetery, but it's got a lot of important African American community leaders, blues musicians.
You're listening to the Created State podcast here on KASU. Dr. Ed Salo joins us from the Heritage Studies PhD program. Also joining us are students who are in the PhD program, Mikhail Kamlotsky and also Pushpita Ashika. We appreciate you both joining us. Mikhail, first of all, kind of tell us a little bit about your role in the research and kind of what you've been doing, if you don't mind, please.
Well, I've been working on Jewish cemetery, and we checked how many graves it has when it was established, and basically the whole history of this Jewish cemetery.
Pushpita, tell us a little about what you've been doing, if you don't mind.
Me and I have another groupmate. She is Sikh, so she couldn't come. So we were choose the Magnolia Cemetery. It is an African-American historic cemetery in Helena. Before it became significantly the African American Cemetery, it was actually it was named Evergreen Cemetery, and it was a non-government, like private cemetery for burial for both white Americans and African Americans, but separately. They have a better place for burying the white Americans, and below the cliff there was a small place for burying the African Americans. It started before the Civil War, but after the Civil War, in the Great Depression time, when things are not being good, then that cemetery was not been maintained properly, not the white part and neither the African American part. So they were that cemetery was on market, and the a group of wealthy people in the African American community, they purchased that place, and in 1899 it became legitimately African American cemetery. And since then, like till is it working now?
Yes, it's still active.
Till now, like hundreds of people were buried there. Almost, we have counted 600 to 700 graves over there. And it's the shape of the cemetery is pretty different than the other cemeteries we see in United States. Like most of the cemeteries I saw is rectangle or square in shape. It's a formal shape, but it's a rectilinear and serpentine shaped cemetery. No orientation, no direction of north south. So the graves were placed like some in no north south direction. Grave has been seen in this cemetery, the proper direction, as we saw the organized graves in other cemeteries.
Mm-hmm.
And then another aspect, we found that it's not been maintained properly, and probably for years it was not been maintained properly, but there are a good number of famous African American families have been buried there in of Helena, and it's a big and huge cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That was one of the things we did early in the class, was we looked at ideas of cemeteries, did some readings, and then the students, I broke them into teams, and each team had a cemetery, and they were responsible for going down there, documenting, photographing monuments, memorials, looking at how the cemeteries laid out, finding individuals that are buried there, and they did research on those individuals to kind of flesh out, you know, and humanize, so that we know, you know, their connection to the community, and then to write up a history not only of the cemetery but the Jewish community, the talking about African Americans in Helena and how the cemetery was part of that larger story. So, and you know, it was over the summer, and Helena can be pretty hot, so that part was not not fun. But you know, documenting these, writing up, we first did a determination of eligibility, which you turn into the state historic preservation office, so that they can look to see if they think it's potentially eligible. It's kind of, you know, it's kind of a protection method, so that you don't do all this effort and then they're like, yeah, it's not historic. So you do a form. They reviewed it. They, you know, we went through that phase with the Bethel Cemetery, the Jewish cemetery, and we've prepared the nomination. And we're still working with them. They wanted to visit Magnolia, not because – I don't think it's because they don't think it's eligible or historic. They want, as Pushpita said, it's not a normal cemetery. It's definitely constructed in the lay of the land, so it's not your nice rectangular cemetery. It's on the other side of the ridge, and it's between some creeks, and it just kind of meanders around. And mm-hmm. we did locate it, I think, approximately 650 graves that we knew of, and there's a lot of areas where you can tell there are unmarked graves, so that number is probably considerably higher. But so
right, Mikhail, if you don't mind, tell us a bit about the Jewish cemetery and give us some of the history of that, if you don't mind, please.
Well, the cemetery is quite old, and it was opened in 1875, and it was closed in 2006, and it has like around 400 graves. Mm-hmm. And it should be said that the Jewish community in Helena is right now it's almost done. It has only around a dozen people, but in 1927 it had over 400 people. So right now it's kind of declining, the number of Jewish in Helena. So, and the Jewish cemetery is in good condition and it's take care. So the form of the cemetery is like 100 meters by 100 meters. And it has old trees, old magnolia trees, old cedar trees.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Salo, tell us a bit about the importance that cemeteries bring to communities in that regard. I know that's one of the things I know that you're trying, that the students are working on as well, a way of bringing out the importance of what they can mean to individual areas.
You know, cemeteries in this case, They were two places for African Americans and Jewish that were separated from the predominant culture. You know, Jewish people, according to religious beliefs, need to be buried with other Jewish people. So this was a separate cemetery that they established. So that they can meet their religious restrictions, laws. The African American cemetery was set up because they were forced to be separated from whites. So you had two cemeteries that were separate from the dominant culture for different reasons. One as a choice and one as being forced upon them. But they were places where, you know, just like with any cemetery, you know, they're places of memory. They're places where you can honor, you know, there were in both cemeteries, they were honoring veterans. They were honoring, you could tell the more wealthy families by how nice the headstones were. You could see religious traditions. They were just ways of expressing the, you know, the culture. And also, you know, we saw in the, especially in the Jewish cemetery, it was interesting. There were several gravestones that had both Hebrew and English writing on them. And, you know, you could sort of see, but then there were some that just had English writing, you know, so you can see almost a, how they assimilated into Southern culture. You know, some of the cemetery gravestones look no different than the ones, you know, nearby in the just regular cemetery. But so there were some interesting aspects to that. But, you know, graveyards, I know, kind of scary. We should have done this during October.
But, yeah, with Halloween. Yeah exactly.
I know a lot of people don't like graveyards because of, you know, what they, you know, indicate and people start thinking about mortality. But, you know, to me, it is one of those ways that you can see the community aspects of that, because you can see family connections. You can see how well, you know, families are by how large the gravestones are. And a lot of times they also tell you about the individuals, if they were veterans, if they were, you know, depending on what they put on their gravestone. So they're really interesting. And, you know, a lot of times they're very artistic too, or and we saw this a lot in the African American cemetery. There were a lot of vernacular art, gravestones that were no more than you could tell poured concrete that somebody wrote in, or, you know, rock that was chiseled, all the way up to gravestones that were really elaborate. And, you know, like I was saying, the cemeteries are still in use today. You know, we found there's one area of Magnolia that has, you know, several hundred graves that are from, you know, 1990s on. So it's not like it's a dead. Both cemeteries do have, you know, groups that are, you know, helping to manage and preserve it. The African American cemetery, the group recently restarted, so it did have a period where it was not as well maintained, but they're taking care of that. They have some really nice panels up now that tell the history of it.
Very good. Pushpita, tell us about, as you were going through the research and this, what were some of the things that your takeaways and some of your points as you were kind of doing your research about the African-American cemetery there in Helena over the summer?
Well, we looked for the history, we look for the architecture, and we look for its importance in the society, present society and the society at that time, like from 1920s to, sorry, so to 1820s to 1920, like in, because it started in 1857, though it was not the name of Magnolia Cemetery, it was the name of the Evergreen Cemetery. It was it started in 1869, and in 1899 the African American people took over, and through that cemetery we have, like, it's kind of establishing that all those facts that were always there, but with this cemetery is one more evidence of those facts that already is there, that the wealth of African American community in Helena, and they were really active in their social norms, and they were active in their cultural norms, and they were very much concerned about their part of their part of job as a nation. And as Dr. Sello said, the Jim Crow law and how they behaved on those laws, though the graves doesn't tell everything, but still, the gravestones, the type of the graves, and the random, but it's not unorganized actually, the random placement of the graves, it's more, I will say, organic placement, not unorganized. The organic placement of the graves and the architectural, though graveyards doesn't have much architecture to describe, like as a National Register wants some description, but still the layout, the street going between the cemeteries, it has four clusters. The cemetery is divided into like two different parts. One is in the uphill and one is in the downhill. Before the African American brought this cemetery, the uphill part was for the better of people, like the Civil War veterans and the white Americans, and the lower part was for the African Americans. And we found one grave from 1910, right, sir?
I think so.
This is the oldest grave, I think, we found in there.
Mm-hmm.
And like the bottom part has been divided into four clusters. And as we go inside, the newer the graves are. And from the outer part, the older the graves were. So like we look for whatever we could find, actually.
Mikhail, same thing to you about the cemetery that you were in, the Jewish cemetery.
Well, the cemetery is quite interesting, actually. It represents the history of Jewish community of that town, and it had like 35 graves with Hebrew writing and three graves with Masonic writing. And we could see how those Jewish community, what kind of role that Jewish community played for the Helena. So it was very interesting. And we should know that most of the first Jewish who came to Helena, they were immigrants from Germany or East Europe. So it's kind of also was interesting to see the history, to see the transformation.
How do you think, Dr. Salo, about the work that Mikhail and Pushpita have done? Fantastic work, I know. Kind of your thoughts on what they've been doing and how they've been helping you as y'all been in this process of submitting these applications for the National Register.
It's always great to have students working with you on these projects for several reasons. One is, they're learning the skills that we want to teach graduate students. How to do research, how to find sources, how to make the arguments, how to make determinations. And, both of these students, are working on other kind of focused areas for their dissertations. So this is a little out of their wheelhouse, but, you know, everyone in the class did really wonderful, and I was so excited about some of the stuff they found. You know, to me, it's also important for us to, you know, give back to the community. A lot of times, you know, you can hire, and I did this before I came to A-State, you know, we have historians that can do this kind of work. And, you know, just like anyone, you can hire them, they do the work. We do this as, you know, a community service. You know, we help people, you know, prepare these nominations to get the students' experience and to, you know, help the community and to preserve items that may not, you know, people may not have the money to hire somebody, or they may not have the patience to do it themselves. But that's one of the things that we try to do, not only in the heritage studies, but in the history department too. It's usually what we try to do in most of my historic preservation classes, because that way, hey, we can, you know, get good projects out and we can help people. So always looking for projects too.
Oh yeah. And that, there's a, and that's the thing, I guess, about being in this part of Arkansas, there was no real lack of projects to work on.
Right. You know, this part of the state has rich history, but unlike other parts of the state, it's not, you know, historic preservation hasn't been as much a focus as it has in Little Rock or, you know, in the northwest corner and some other places. Even in Helena, and you can also see, you know, sometimes the focus of historic preservation ignores certain aspects of the community. African-American history for a long time, for example, was not really preserved. Only recently, and by recently, I'm doing the history, historians recently, you know, it's probably been in the past 30 years, but has it really become more of a focus point? So there's a lot of stuff out there that, you know, is really important to our, you know, our state's history, our national history, local history, that people haven't really thought of preserving. And those are some of the things that we're trying to focus on. You know, a lot of the big grand houses and all that stuff you think of normally for historic preservation have been placed on the register, and they're, you know, those kind of things. But we're looking at some of the more, and not just African-American, you know, things of, you know, the working class, other ethnic groups, and just, you know, some of the smaller communities just haven't had that level of preservation that, you know, some of the larger places like Little Rock has. So that's what we're excited about.
Very good. Dr. Salo, thank you. Bishop Ida, before we let you run, your thoughts on working with him and kind of your experiences here at Arkansas State and how it's been for you so far.
It's been great. It's been great, and I am glad that I have opportunity to work with Dr. Salo, and I really enjoying working with him. Like, I am also doing my GA under him. So we have done several projects here in Arkansas. So it was really fun, and it was, I really am interested to do all those. It was like discovering a new thing. Every project gives me new ideas about the, I am from a foreign country and I didn't have much knowledge about the traditional architectural heritage of USA, and especially this southern part. And every building I start working on, it gives me newer information, and it's really exciting.
And we're glad you're here at Arkansas State for
sure.
Thank
you. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
she's made my life a whole lot easier.
Definitely. And Mikhail, we're glad you're here at Arkansas State as well. And tell us a little bit about that, about how this has, you know, kind of helped you in working with Dr. Salo, and that, and also this journey through Arkansas State's program.
Well, it was excellent experience to get know the history of Arkansas. And I appreciate Dr. Salo that for such projects, which demonstrate the history and demonstrate why we should preserve, for in this case, cemeteries, and how the history shown in stones. So It was a great experience.
This is A-State Connections on KASU. I'm Jonathan Reeves. This is the weekly segment called A-State Connections and Create at State, Making Connections That Count. In this interview, I talk with Dr. Edward Salo. He's an assistant professor of history at Arkansas State University and works with the Heritage Studies PhD program. He worked with graduate students Mikhail Kamlotsky and Pushpita Ashika to look at two cemeteries in Helena, West Helena, to try to get them on the National Register of Historic Places. Here's Dr. Salo.